This is the Chris Abraham Show.
Hey there, this is the Chris Abraham Show. My name's Chris Abraham. I surely do not know what episode this is because I think that there's one living on the recorder that I'm recording on, and I have yet to decide whether I'm deleting that one or I'm keeping it, so I will make this the nameless one. This is episode... Season 6 of the Chris Abraham Show. Today is all about Emma Chamberlain. This is the most influential girl or person or human on the entire internet. And I think she might even be more influential and rich and powerful and successful than Mr. Beast. Her name's Emma Chamberlain, and I am the last person to fall in love with her. And by fall in love with her, I do not mean in any way out of passion or desire. I mean, she's a total little olive oil bean post. But I love her grit, man. I, out of nowhere, started getting her two-year-old videos when she was 19 all over my For You page on YouTube. It's called Recommended. For You, I guess, is more of a TikTok thing. But man, I don't know about now. I think now she's just, I don't know. She's been ruined by 21. But man, when she was like as far as 5 years ago and more like 2 years ago, she was like, she says this all the time, but she's a little old lady. Like she's a little old lady in a 19-year-old body. And it's delightful how tomboyish she is and how self-aware she is and how fearless and shameless she is, but also how open to being lonely and the open and frank relationship with her mom and her dad who were divorced, and her tendency to talk about shitting and pooping and IBS and menstruation and talking about her weird food desires when she was younger and have her explore things for the first time. I was just saying to a sophomore girl from St. John's, who is probably one of the smartest people I currently know, and she's studying, you know, the history of human thought or whatever the amazing degree that they have up at St. John's, where they go basically through the entire Western canon, both historically and philosophically and through literature and et al., Bible study, all that kind of stuff. And she's a sophomore, and I ended up tapping her yesterday and asking her about the controversy with regards to her podcast, where she is waxing philosophical and smart girls are calling her stupid. They're saying that she doesn't have the tools or the words or the edumacation or the experience or the hardening to sit there on her couch in a hoodie yammering into her microphone like I'm doing right now. And they're like, girl's worth $20 million or more. She is a global self-made jet setter. She hasn't gone to high school since maybe she was 15 or 16. She definitely supports her entire family, I dare say. Her dad seems to be a photographer, her videographer for a lot of like the things that she has been doing in those videos when she's traveling and so forth. And I guess, you know, when she was under 18, he was her her adult, her escort. But I just love it. I love the devil may care. I love the fact that she is pretty androgynous, if you think about it. I mean, she, you know, signifies to me the definition of gamin, which is sort of a young, innocent, playful, flirty, joie de vivre, suffused and infused and super saturated kind of girl at the edge of being an adult. And like, if you were to take, in many ways, she reminds me a lot of my ex-girlfriend. I'll call her my ex-wife because she calls me her ex-husband, Michelle. And even though she grew up, Michelle did, in San Francisco, and I think Emma Chamberlain grew up in San Bruno or something, I think that they're both concurrently super like city girls, where you just assume, you project on them that they're like extremely street smart and maybe a little jaded. But then if you get closer to them, you'll realize that they're just young women, young people, and that young women and young people just don't know shit. And I've spent my entire childhood hiding the fact whenever I didn't know stuff. And I always admired people who look at you blank-faced and blank-eyed and say, I don't know what I'm doing, or I've never done this before, or I have no experience in this, or I don't know what you're talking about, or I don't get the reference, or I've never tasted sushi before. When I found out that Wendy Gottlieb, my elitist, Yale-educated, beautiful 30-something-year-old goddess of a girlfriend, when I realized that she hadn't had, like, sushi until she was in her 20s, like, it blew my mind, right? It blows my mind to think that there are just lots of things that other people haven't done and haven't been exposed to and don't know innately and haven't figured out on their own through reading or YouTube or curiosity or social media or through friends or through books or through podcasts or through reading. It always amazes me to see people who look like they just sort of fell to earth. And to me, Emma Chamberlain feels like, okay, so I have a friend named Kaushik Sarkar, and he's from Bangladesh, and he is an amazing guy. He's genius IQ, and pretty sure his parents are royalty in Bangladesh, but he lives here now, and he works at AWS, and he treats every day here like he's on holiday, right? Because he is. This isn't his home. He sees America as much the same way that I saw the entire time I was in Berlin, the way I saw Berlin. Like, every day was holiday for me. I mean, I tried like heck to work, but every single morning, I didn't recognize the angle of the sun. I didn't recognize the weather. I didn't recognize the way the air smelled. Every day was magical. Every day I saw something new. Nothing was by rote. I needed to use MapQuest a lot, right? I needed to kind of find my way around. I couldn't wing it or do it intuitively. So I feel like this is kind of a fell-to-earth experience, and I get to see that as a third person exposed to someone who isn't, I don't even know if I'm using this word right, who isn't fronting. And by fronting, I mean she in no way is faking it till she makes it. She is exposing her lack of experience. She is openly discussing that she sucks at something. A lot of the episodes, she gets up, walks over to a set of drums and plays remedial drums in between vlogging rants. It is so delightfully refreshing as a 53-year-old man looking at this. I don't know, she's There's not one episode where in any way I've ever objectified her. She's just a slender-limbed, like slip of a girl. I'm just like, she reminds me completely, if I were to objectify her, as like the thing that that they put clothes on in stores, a mannequin. She seems like a gamine mannequin to me, and clothes look amazing on her. Got these skinny little tan legs and skinny little tan arms, and her nails always look really stupid. And eventually she puts on one of those silly nose rings and pierces up her ears. And then you can see her all of a sudden put like what looked like a million little prison tattoos all over her forearms. And you know what? It's fine. That's cute too. I mean, it's so funny to see the evolution, right? I think she started when she was 13, 14, 15, and now she's 21. And every few days, she records what's going on in her life, which seems to be mostly reclining in bed, checking her phone, making iced coffee, dicking around the kitchen, playing bad drums, trying to get some sun outside, complaining about LA, wanting to go to New York. And then what made me really kind of project myself into her, which is really funny, I've allowed myself to do that thing where in movies and television and books and comic books, they try to make the protagonist into like an everyman or an everywoman, where the people who watch it can kind of insert themselves into that position so that they can kind of become the character themselves and by proxy have that romantic or interesting experience. And what she does, which I find something that I totally do whenever I go somewhere, is I don't like being a tourist. I like saying to myself, I'm going to spend the next, 5 days just pretending to be a local. I mean, obviously, I'm not a local and there's no way I could be a local. And I'm sure I'm spotted as an American almost immediately or from not being around here for whatever reason, for a million reasons. But I like just meandering. And, when you meander, you might miss entire swaths of an experience if you didn't take a proper tour or carry around a guidebook. But you also open yourself up to the beautiful serendipity of the world, right? God, there's like literally hammering going on. And I wonder if that Adobe sound cleaner will be able to do a good job. So anyway, this girl, Emma Chamberlain, is fantastic. And I'm not part of the comments. I'm not part of the culture. I'm not a thrift store person. If you know me, my only plumage is in my bags. The rest is all black t-shirts and jeans and Blundstone boots or Pegasus shoes or various types and sundry types of sweatpants or sweatshorts. And, my Filson boiled wool shooting jacket and those kinds of things. But other than that, like, I do not have the desire to go around. And being literally a tanned, skinny little mannequin means that anything that she buys looks good on her, right? Like, that's why they have mannequins with narrow hips and barely a bosom and flat little flanks. And she looks good in everything, but it's really funny, It's like whatever that show is, Someone in Paris. It's like the ability to be that girl who gets plucked out of nothing and discovered, and Louis Vuitton and all the different designers, right? Going to the Met Gala and being brought in to model and being brought in to have a coffee company and then being brought in to be the face of Warby Parker and then to have a Warby Parker pair of glasses named after you, a line of glasses named after you. I mean, this is total like Netflix or Hallmark or whatever, like a huge fantasy play. And so she is really just a vessel. In many ways, she's just a placeholder. She's just an exemplar. I mean, I can see with her, you know, her bright face and her willingness to go ahead and talk about anything and burp, and she doesn't have a girly voice. She's got a loud kind of brash, kind of husky voice at even 16 and 17, and a loud voice, and she takes up space, and she demands space, and she demands attention. I mean, this is the kind of, like I say, search the word gamine, G-A-M-I-N-E. Like, it's not a negative term, and it's not really a sexualized term. It's like more of a, I wouldn't say androgynous, but it's totally Emma Chamberlain. She's the definition of an L.A. gamine. Gamine usually refers to kind of tousle-haired young girls who are at the precipice of womanhood, but not like a maiden, not like a milkmaid, more of a boyish, puckish quality, more of a, like I said, not a tomboy, but like not even gender fluid, but kind of, I don't know. And you know, if you're a snob, you're going to hate her. Like, if there's any snobbiness, you will know right away because you will freaking hate this girl. I kind of professed my like of her to my buddy Mark, who is a shamelessly self-proud snob, like a complete snob. I don't even know why I'm one of his best friends, but he is a snobby McSnob face, and he hates her. Like, just in the little connection that I made to her, he finds her vile and perverse and what is the term? Gauche? Not meaning left, but meaning like gauche, like déclassé, right? Like, everything about her, from her talking about pooping and her forced burps and her slouching at tables while she eats with her elbows on the table and her brass loudness and her self-involvement and all this other stuff just appalls him. It makes him so sad to be part of the same species as she is. And that's when I knew that she was special. So I think she's awesome, and I think you should check her out too, especially if you're my demographic, which is like 50 to 100. Anyway, I will talk to you soon. Mahalo.
Thank you for listening to The Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.